Today I'm talking about community, the power of relationships in the local church. Acts 2. Other believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing meals together, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Lord, help us to look at these verses and do likewise. Help us to understand that we need to make room for your Holy Spirit to move in our lives, to teach us the freedom that comes from abandoning ourselves to you, Lord. To saying, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to be your disciple. I want to say no to myself, Lord, and yes to you. This is a struggle we will all face. We need your grace to do it, but Lord, we need surrendering. So Lord, I pray that we would realize, and I like what I heard the pastor say recently on a podcast, we need one another to grow in you, Lord. I need the church. The church needs one another for us to be who you want us to be. So I pray, Lord, that we would commit to one another and to you in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go back in time. It's February 3rd, 2002. I'm really struggling because I have a big test in my Old Testament survey class. But that night, the St. Louis Rams, which is a team I like in football, they're now in Los Angeles, is playing the New England Patriots. They have this young quarterback who took over for Drew Bledsoe named Tom Brady. You may have heard of him. So they do the pregame, and the Rams are introduced first, and they come out, and, you know, here's Kurt Warner, yada, yada, yada. Then they introduce the Patriots, and the Patriots came out as a team. Not one individual was promoted. They just, and something in me said, uh-oh. Because the Rams, you know, the greatest show on turf, they were supposed to take it to them. So I'm studying for 20 minutes, and then I'm sneaking downstairs, and, you know, I didn't have class, my test till the afternoon, so I gave myself an excuse to watch more of the game than I should have, and the Rams got beat 20-17. I love the fact that they came out as a team. I like the football teams in college where they don't put the names on the back. You see, we live in a society that you're supposed to do all that you can do to be noticed. There's a football game on this afternoon. People get paid millions of dollars to catch a football and to get a first down. But they think for some reason they have to drop the ball and point and show everybody that they got it. If you can't catch the stinking ball, pay your millions of dollars back. But it's all about, look at me. I know what you're thinking. Man, you know, Fogey. And yeah, you're right. But we live in a world that Jesus says, you want freedom? Forget about yourself. What does Paul say? I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer me who lives. Toby Keith passed. He died this past week, and he has a song about, it's all about me, all about my. Watch the video, it's hilarious, but that's life. It's all about me. We all have friends. that you know if you're talking to them, you got it made because you ain't got to talk. You know, you're asking them a question, then they take the show, and that works for me sometimes. But you see, we all have different personalities and different relationships, but what I love about these verses in Acts 2, it's an amazing example how the church of Christ can thrive when we commit to grow in our relationships together. You know, the Christian life is strengthened and matured in a community that goes beyond Sundays. And I'm going to be talking in a couple of minutes. It's hard to get people here on Sundays sometimes. How dare you say that? Devotion to Christ and one another is a key to growth. Now, let me tell you, I'm not going to beat people up today. I'm going to encourage you. We need you for New Covenant Community Church to be who God has called us to be. We need you. It's so powerful when I hear people talking to one another, praying for one another. Because, you know, if I go up to you and I talk to somebody, they expect me to do it. Why? I'm the pastor. That's part of my job resume, job description. But we need one another to grow. We need another to encourage one another. And like I said, the Patriots caught my attention because they were unified. You know, I had a worship leader in Copenhagen, Julie, and I used to love the message she gave. Hey, we're going to be a kingdom builder. I am not here to build New Covenant Community Church. I'm here to build the kingdom of God. Because you know what? Yes, I'm here to build this church. I'm here to do what God wants us to do. But we're here for the greater good. When we go to heaven, when we breathe our last and become room temperature, well, guess what? We're not going to be in a room like this in heaven, even with a new stage. I mean, you know, for millions of years, we're going to be with other people. So I love the fact that we are here to be a kingdom builder. Now, when I first came back, one of the things, this is years ago, the Lord laid on my heart is start working with the other churches more. So the first 12 months I was here, I had Pastor Wade here. I had Pastor Kit from Reformed Presbyterian Church here. I had Pastor Bill from Elam Church, and I had all the different people in. And one of the things that the Lord gave me, if you remember years ago, is the Connection Point used to put on concerts at the high school, but I knew it cost them money. So I went to them and said, hey, you know what? You can use our building for free. Because I was praying when I first got here, Lord, what do you want me to do? And one of the things the Lord said, are you willing to bless other churches? Who's going to say no to God about that? Hello, even me can figure that one out. So I said, okay. He goes, are you willing to not be blessed? I did not like that answer. Because if I bless somebody, I want it on the marquee. I want a statue. I want people to pat me on the back. We are all here to be affirmed. And yes, I am just kidding. But what I'm saying is, God was saying, are you willing to not be noticed? A couple years ago, what Lord taught us about, we talked about serving our community with humility and without being noticed. You know, we have Second Chances downstairs, which is part of Bridge to Hope, and they give clothing and food to people in need. You know, they use our building. We help them out. But guess what? We don't get any attention for that, which is kingdom building. I don't want to do things that bring attention to New Covenant. I want to do things that bring attention to Jesus. When you leave a church service, you shouldn't think, oh, this person said something that really blessed me. That's not the goal. The goal is God spoke to me today. We're here as messengers for the Lord. Now, it talked about they were devoted, the early church. That means constantly being diligent, to persevere, to give yourself constantly, to abandon yourself to. The early church embraced this concept, and they saw the Lord move powerfully through the apostles. You know, they saw miracles happen. They saw the Holy Spirit move. And why does God do that? Not to proclaim a church or a person, but to point people to Jesus Christ. When there is a spirit of unity, we open the door for God to do powerful things. You know, any gift that we have that God gives us is for the purpose of building up his church and building up the kingdom. And we want, and, you know, in the spring, we're going to be doing a series on both the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. But God gives us different gifts to build his church. Now, what was the early church devoted to? Teaching. We talked about this for a few weeks. They were devoted to the Word of God. They wanted to be edified. They were devoted to fellowship. And that's more than just being together. That's more than just hanging out. It means having something in common. They, oh, you have a need? You need some money? Here, let me help you. And they did it out of heart, of love for one another. It said that they broke bread. It means they had meals together, and it means they also had communion together, and they were devoted to prayer. You see, when we grow together, fellowship's important to God. We're not meant to be lone rangers. We're not meant to sit at home. Now, some people have to. I get that. But God wants us to be together. I have a friend of mine from Texas and his church. They have home groups. In fact, they tell people, if you can only go to one meeting a week, don't go to Sunday morning. Go to home group. Why? That's community. That's why we do home groups, and we're going to grow in that because that's where we develop relationships. That's where we get encouraged. I like, because one of the things we do in home group is sometimes we go through questions from the message, and I like hearing people's answers because sometimes I'm up here teaching, but they give answers which are teaching me. See, I need you guys. We need to embrace the power of taking our eyes off of ourselves. When we're unified, it brings strength and it brings encouragement. This kind of commitment to fellowship is genuine and attracts people. I remember years ago when Melody and I first started coming to this church, what kept us here? People really talked to us, not at us. And at the time I was in college, just how long ago was it? They invited us to dinner. And I'm sorry, when you're in college and you get a free meal, that kind of rocks. But we met people of all kinds. And I remember, you know, I'm like 23 years old, and I'm hanging out with people, and I'm thinking, if you would have told me 6 years ago I'd be hanging out with people like this, I would have laughed at you. But it was great. It was fellowship. It was community. Mark Kean says, it is common to speak of an unchurched faith today. But there's absolutely no concept of this in the New Testament. What do you mean by unchurched? Well, I love Jesus, but I'm not going to church. That's okay. You don't have to go to heaven, but you kind of have to obey God. We're created. Pastor, you're just saying that because you want to fill the seats. No, I'm saying that because God says it. And if we're not your cup of tea, we'll help you find a church that is. God wants us to be in community. He wants us to go to church. And we talked about the early church. They didn't spend all their time in the temple. They spent their times in homes, sharing meals together. At the end of the night, they'd pray together. They'd take communion together. We're here to grow together. And I want to bring something carefully into this. Tom Rainier, I just read an article he wrote. It's called The Graying of the Church in America. 10,000 people turned to the age of 65 every day in America. I'm one of them. Senior adults, which are 65 and over, account for 16.8% of the American population, yet in the church, they account for 33% of the population. Now, what he writes about in the article is we need to be careful about having a church. It's not attractive to me, but it's attractive to the young people. And this is a challenge, and I usually get feedback whenever I speak about this. And if you remember about a year and a half ago, we did a saturated series on unity, and one of the things I talked about unity is when changes come, and it is going to come, we can't murmur. It's going to be uncomfortable. I shared, you know, Dave's retiring after 9 years being principal at our school, and it looked like our next principal is not going to be a part of our church. Well, after 40-some years, that's a change that we're going to have to adapt to. You know, and I think the school has been a great example of change where, you know, Dave has had different people come on board. They're the younger on the school board, and they bring new ideas, and it's really helped the school flourish. Has it made us uncomfortable? Of course it has. The newness makes us uncomfortable. We have to be willing to make change to attract younger people. You know, one of the things I realized, I'm not a father to the basic kids. I'm a grandfather. I am two generations past, but that's okay. I got a different role. I love being a grandfather. Even though my grandson gave me pink eye a couple weeks ago, I still love the little guy, and we like hanging out together. And it made me feel young because I thought pink eye was a young kid's disease. Tom Rainier, I love the feedback he got from older church members throughout America. Older church members are willing to make change. Dramatic pause. As long as it doesn't infect them. We laugh. Oh boy, do I get feedback on it. The older you get, the less you're supposed to do, the more you're supposed to train. Replace yourself. I've been praying for my next assistant pastor. I've reached out to different people. Some doors are open, some aren't. I say, Lord, you got to do this because I'm not your future. Was it De Gaulle that said the graveyard is full of irreplaceable people? You know, we're all replaceable. I love the Rams. Kurt Warner's not their quarterback anymore. We got devotion to Christ and to growth is to do things His way. I'm excited by what God's doing. And I want to tell you something about New Covenant Church. Your love for one another in relationship is the power of this church. So one of the things we have to do is we have to connect and we have to invest. Let me get back to verse 44. It says, all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. Church was unified. They saw a need. They met a need. But it might impact my 401k. What's God saying to you? He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and we love to tell people stuff like that. It's just hard to live it. I'm talking about lifestyle. We have to be all in it. You know, I am one opinionated man. I have written my kids, even lately, I wrote them a letter, and I repented. I said, there's times my opinions were so strong, I knew it held you back from stuff. Why am I saying that? Do you know sometimes my kids make life choices I wouldn't make? They don't ask me. How could they not ask the great all-knowing Oz? But it works out! Wait a minute. Life can work out if you don't do things my way? Oh, newsflash. Yes. So we need to connect and invest. I love this about the church. They saw a need. They thought, who can I tell about it? You know, if God points out a need to you, it's not to come tell me about. It's for you to do something. God shows you things, so you do it. Here's something we need to learn in this entitlement world that we live in. Look to be a blessing rather than to be blessed. Do you want to be blessed? Help somebody. Give and you shall receive, Luke 6 tells us. Give and you shall receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount, you give will determine the amount you get back. Now, that doesn't mean this afternoon you go give me $1,000. But God tells you to, okay, obey. So you're going to get $10,000 back. Not what we're talking about. But what God is saying is, I want you to trust the fact that Jesus died for your sins and you've committed your life to him and let him use you to build his kingdom. You see, genuine concern and care has always been the strength of this church. You know, in his book, Wiki Church by Steve Merle, he talked about how the Lord used him to build a church in the Philippines. He's an American. It went from 150 people, and 15 years later, it was like 44,000 people. They do one thing. The only thing they do is the Great Commission. And you know where they meet? Movie theaters. When we had to fix this place, I prayed about going to the movie theater and say, could we rent your thing on Sunday morning without popcorn? And their church flourishes, because you know what? It doesn't matter how great the preaching is. It doesn't matter how great the worship is. It doesn't matter how great your building is if you don't have love and genuine concern. We need to be a selfless giver in a world of entitlement. Jesus said, I am God's son. I came to be served. No, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve. See, we don't have volunteers anymore in this church, I've decided. We have servants. You know, in the coming months and weeks, we're going to talk about, you know, we need nursery help, we need Sunday school help, we need people to head up Sunday school. So we need to pray about this stuff. We need to live the love of Jesus. You know what I love about Jesus? Matthew, the tax collector, he had dinner with him, with a bunch of people that didn't have a good reputation, and Jesus took flack for that. You see, we have to mirror what Jesus did. We don't just minister and reach out to people that make us feel good, but when we get done with a service, you look around and say, God, who do you want me to talk to today? Not who are my friends. Because you got to realize God wants you to be a blessing to other people. Community can be a home away from home. We have home groups. We had a men's breakfast. We're going to do more socials. And let me say, if you're thinking about, man, why don't we do more socials? Maybe that's God telling you to head something up, because we need to do more of this stuff. You see, one of the things I've said multiple times is we're supposed to be a safe place. We're supposed to be a hospital. I want anybody to feel comfortable coming in here. We're not going to compromise the gospel. We're not going to compromise what we believe. Like I said, I have counseled people that try to freak me out because they're witches, they're in the occult, they're yada, yada, yada. What better place to be than in that office talking to me, hearing about Jesus Christ? Because if you're a witch, if you're in the occult, guess what? You ain't going to beat me up because I got God on my side. I want to be involved with these people. And can I tell you something? It makes me uncomfortable because I like life to be in a clean, neat little package. And you know what really is interesting about this community thing? It ain't always convenient. Don't you wish, I'm still old, I have a day timer. I do not use my phone, I use my day timer. I wish God would look at the thing before he puts something in my life. I wish he would see, guess what? Monday from 12 until 6:30 at night, you are really busy. And quit having people knock on the door or call the office. But you know, God, don't do that. But God, I don't like that person, let alone want to talk to him. Pastor, why do you say that? Because you can all relate to that. Just be real. Well, God wants me to love him and minister to him. So what are we going to do today? We're going to go and do likewise, I hope. I still hope. Maybe we're not going to go and do likewise, but that my next thing is go and do likewise. We need to live the example that Acts 2 shows us, as I tried to discreetly do this thing, and it doesn't work, so who cares? That's my last slide anyways, what's not, but go and do likewise. Anyways, if you can't laugh at yourself, you miss a lot of good jokes. They met daily. They cared daily, and they shared daily. Church is not a Sunday morning from 10 o'clock to 11:05. Church is a lifestyle. That's what God has called us to do. It's a day-to-day reality, not just a weekly occurrence. We do not fit God into our life. God becomes our life If you want peace, the thing that kills me is when I see people on fire for God, but little by little they stop attending, they don't come, and they grow cold. Where are you, God? Arms wide open, man. So maybe you're here and you're saying, hey, I missed that person. That's God saying, reach out to him. Not tell me about it. Reach out to him. You see, the risen Christ is reality. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And when I said to him, okay, you're the Son of God, forgive me, man, come and take my life. Man, I had such peace. I had this peace in my life because I was an unchurched person. I don't know what changed, but something internally changed in me. And then we started coming to church and doing stuff. I remember going, and a guy named Dave Peretti had a T-shirt on that said, I once was blind, and he wasn't really, but he would share with people about it. I just remember these people cared, and I kept coming back, even when I didn't want to. They even did weird stuff, like they had meetings at night, and don't they know I'm in college, and my time is my time? But people reached out, and they cared. They impacted my life because they cared about Dick Beaumont. You know, I was kind of engaged before I met my wife, and, you know, we by grace of God, we started going out. It's like, wow, this is blowing my mind because this person really actually cares about me. I mean, after 2 days, I realized, God, there's something in this. See, people know the real deal. I've been to churches where people shake their hand while they look to somebody else. You ever talk to somebody and they're looking around? You know what they tell you? I really don't care about you, but I'm doing my part. I want people to look me in the eye when I talk. My goal this morning isn't to correct us. It's to encourage us. Let's be all we can be. In fact, I'm going to pray. I want you to do this. Everybody, close your eyes and bow that head of yours, because God wants to encourage us. If you want God to touch you, you have a prayer need, it's going to be unspoken, I want you to raise your hand. Ooh, there's not many people. Okay. Those of you whose hands are not raised, open your eyes, look around, and in a couple minutes I'm going to pray, lay your hands on the people with their hands in the air, because we're not coming to church, people. We are the church. So if you don't have your hands up, open your eyes. Stand up and look at somebody with their hands in the air and walk over to them and lay your hands on them. Okay, we're getting there, man. There's some over here, people. There's some over here. I'm going off camera. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this church. I thank you that you have called us to be the church. Not to attend, but to be. Lord, you see all these hands in the air. They're responding to you, God. Whoa, that is amazing. I pray, Lord, whatever this need is, that you would touch these hearts, Lord, touch these lives. Give them encouragement, Lord. Father, we cry out to you for supernatural healing because we know you're the God that heals today, Lord God, not just 2,000 years ago. I pray for your encouragement. I pray for your joy. Pray for your peace, Lord. Pray that you move powerfully in these lives, Lord. I just thank you, Father, for all that you're doing at this church. At New Covenant, we are here to build your kingdom, Lord. It is not about us, it is about you. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. You see, you tell us, give and you shall receive. Oh, thank you, Lord, that if I want to be blessed, I want to be a blessing. Help us to be kingdom builders, Lord. Not with just people that appeal to us, people that we can relate to, but to everybody. You see, Lord, I want to be like James in the book of James. I don't want to honor the rich person and cast aside the down and out person, Lord. You show us who you want us to minister to. We want to see gifts in operation. We want to see the Holy Spirit move powerfully. then let's do it that way, Lord. Let's say at the end of the service, God, who do you want me to touch? Thank you for this amazing church and these amazing people, Lord. Bless them today. In your name we pray, amen. If you still need more prayer, feel free to come on up here. Grab somebody to pray for you.